Greetings, this is Arisquido de Fumeo Risquillosi. I just wanted to do a brief update on the arrest of one minister. Algeria actually arrested several ministers, but this one is pretty big because he worked as Minister of Energy and Mines, that is oil minister, between 2010 and 2015. And he also was an acting prime minister. In 2014, he was in the US as a permanent representative of Algeria to the United Nations, and he has been, just like many other ministers, he has been arrested on Sunday, the 14th of July, on allegations of squandering public money. And there's probably more cases of corruption that are going to emerge over the coming months in regards to Yusuf Yusufi, that's his name. Just like other ministers, he is in trouble, and more of that to come. So it's really, is it a surprise? Absolutely not. Algeria has been plagued by widespread corruption ever since President Bouteflika became president in 1999. Essentially, all the men and women that he hired set out to restructure the legal system to protect their interests, and they've created bureaucratic practices that enabled them to institutionalize corruption in unprecedented ways never seen anywhere else in the world. The entire government is, you know, over the past years has been essentially corrupt. Now, the scale of corruption in Algeria was and still is such that it's almost impossible to find an official that has been in office from 99 to this year who has really clean hands. So much so that while the 1990s are dubbed the Dark Decade, and called the Dark Decade due to the civil war that claimed then tens of thousands of lives, some estimate 150 to 200,000, the Bouteflika reign that came after that dark decade should be really called the two decades of deep corruption. Really, that's, if you were to characterize that period, that would be it. Now, corruption practices used over the past 20 years include sort of the classic and disgusting practice of demanding a commission on projects, which is illegal, not only obviously in Algeria due to the laws, but clearly around the world. That includes imposing an equity partner on a business created by either another Algerian national or a foreign company, all the way to obviously confiscating the lands and properties legitimately owned by individuals and families for the pleasure of the corrupt official. The corruption has been widespread, not just at the very top level with ministers and state-owned company CEOs milking the system, but smaller scale corruption was the de facto culture in provincial and local governments. Anyone with any level of power at any level in any organization had to engage in extortion and other acts deemed criminal in normal societies. If you needed a simple birth certificate, you were at the mercy of a tiny clerk who demanded bribes. This was the norm in Algeria, and it was instituted by the Bouteflika clan, defended by what I call the Grand Viziers, the big ministers like Prime Minister Ahmedou Yahya and Abdelmalek Salal, and practiced by everyone so as to divvy up the oil revenue. As for those small bribes in places like city halls, they were really meant to keep the little people busy. Normal governance and management in Algeria were virtually non-existent, and that's why the country is where it is today, that is in a deep political crisis. Now, the current crisis, and one of the main reasons why Algerian leaders today are not willing to move to the next step, well, is largely due to the fact that many of them who form the military command in charge of the country today are also deeply corrupt. They cannot fathom or accept the idea of letting it go altogether, or face the same predicament as those who are behind bars today. Algerian generals have long ruled like emperors in their fiefdoms. The country is divided into several so-called military regions, with each region having its general in charge of security. Well, these men reported to no one, as if they were warlords. They have always been, and still are, as far as I'm concerned, above and beyond the law. And as part of the culture, nothing happens in the regions without their consent, and often that means commission payments, gifts, land expropriation, and so many other way to enrich themselves without legality. Now, obviously, in addition to the region's chiefs, there are the commanders who oversee the various branches of the military, from the army to air force, and from the navy to intelligence. Give or take 24 of them in today's command, who are clearly frightened, but what might happen to them should the rule of law prevail. Now, these men are undoubtedly powerful. They're unwilling to compromise and without any reasonable strategy to save the Republic. They still think that they are invulnerable and untouchable, just like the mighty previous ministers of oil or petroleum thought of themselves. Just like the prime ministers in prison, one of these oil ministers has been seen behind bars since yesterday. He's been sent to the notorious Harash prison over this past weekend. Not too long ago, Yusuf Yusufi was the king of the energy sector in Algeria, more powerful than his bosses, whining and dining with the most powerful global oil corporations, hedge fund managers, leaders of the IMF and the World Bank, and government officials around the world. They're basically untouchable. That myth of all-powerful minister is over. Yusufi is alleged by Algerian prosecutors to have squandered public funds and who knows what else. But Algerians are clearly waiting for another notorious figure of the Bouteflika reign, the president's very own friend Shakib Khalil, another ex-oil minister who has been accused by both Algerian and European courts of corruption. While he was once favored to replace President Bouteflika, Khalil is not in Algeria today, having fled, fearing justice. It is unclear whether he is a US citizen or a green card holder in the United States, but he is likely in the Gulf, I think, a region that has no problem sponsoring and sheltering dictators and thugs from Idi Amin Dada to Zine El Abidine Ben Ali of Tunisia. They used them very well, by the way. If he is a US citizen, then he may even be in breach of US law banning US citizens from serving another government, and he will have to face the US Justice Department at some point. In addition to demanding that the likes of Khalil return home to face justice, Algerians will be expecting nothing less from the judiciary to reactivate the cases involving the misdeeds and illegal activities of the many foreign companies that have really helped perpetuate the state of chaos in Algeria. Canada's SNC-Lavalin and many Italian firms, to name just a few, have been named in court cases in Algeria, Italy and elsewhere, and have yet to face their accusers in an Algerian court. But that day will only come after the military command surrenders power to the civilian government, because there's a lot to unveil that could really put some of these generals in legal jeopardy. Thank you for listening.